Okay, service and sisterhood. Let's transition over to talk a little bit more about Delta Sigma Theta. So let's talk about some of your mentorship work.
I just did
it. No, it wasn't loud enough.
It was.
I'm screaming.
Oh, my gosh.
It is funny.
Like, aren't you doing? Are you producing? Stay at your producer. And you're producing over there. Oh, my gosh. You know.
Joining us today is a leader who truly understands what it means to build resilient systems, both in the cloud and in the real world. Equasha is a cloud security engineer and the founder of Tech E Consulting Tech, specializing in infrastructure modernization for the government and healthcare sectors. With a career that began in Air Force and has since spanned over a decade of enterprise engineering, Equasha brings a unique security-first perspective to cloud architecture. However, her off-duty life is just as impressive. From search and rescue operations to mentoring the next generations of leaders through Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, she lives a life dedicated to growth and impact. We're thrilled to have her here to talk and share her journey. Equasha, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Hey,
You said that real nice. You said that real nice.
Thank you.
It's like I don't even know that person. Like, ooh, she sounds real good on paper.
That's you, girl. That's all you. So it's good to finally be able to meet you in person.
I'm going
to
be producing the whole time.
Okay, I was just like, what am I doing wrong?
We can't afford no producer.
We wear all the hats, so
yes,
it's fine.
Yes, literally. But it's finally nice to meet you in person. I don't know how long we've been connected online, but
a minute.
It's been a little minute.
It's been a long minute.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I finally just... booked, and I was like, let me just get on down here. And yeah. I'm not mad at it. The energy is great. The vibes are good. So I'm happy to be here.
You heard it. Energy great, vibes good. We know what we're doing over here, y'all.
Now, you know what I'm gonna message you about real quick. For y'all that do not follow her on social media, she has these big rugs.
They're
rugs. These big rugs. They're huge. Big rugs of Gone and Kilua.
Yes.
And
so cute.
I told her that I was going to ask her on the show, why does she love Hunter x Hunter so much?
That was like the first anime that I really got into when I was stationed in Japan. Like I used to watch like Dragon Ball Z and stuff when I was younger, but I didn't realize that was anime because it was on Cartoon Network. And mm-hmm. anybody explained that that's anime or whatever. So when I was living in Japan, somebody recommended it to me and I was just like, what is this? And I just fell in love with it. That's like started my whole... obsession with anime, and I really love the friendship between Gon and Killua. I really like that Killua is a real life killer. Like, you know, he's an assassin. Like, he really don't play about Gon. Like, I love that. So I just like their friendship a lot, and I think they're really cute. Yeah, they are in my truck too. I actually have like literally the air fresheners with them on there, and it's like on my what's that thing called? You the mirror in the front?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do take them just about everywhere. I also have a big blanket with their face. I ain't showed y'all the whole obsession. Yeah,
so it goes deep.
It goes a little bit deep. But yeah, I love them.
It's funny because I know for a fact, Destiny, like, who are they talking about?
You know, I was just going with the flow. I can make it so good. Yeah. Anime. No, yeah. But a lot of people have recommended that is the first one that I dive into.
Mm-hmm. Really? They recommend it wrong. It's long. I would recommend the one that predates that. I would recommend Yu Yu Hakusho.
Who?
Yu Yu Hakusho. Because it's written by the same person, mm-hmm. and it's no filler, really. So it's like 100-something
episodes. Yeah, 100-100 got fillers for sure. Like, you can skip a whole arc from the fillers. But I haven't finished Yu Yu. Like, I start. Oh,
man. Did you get to the tournament?
And no. I'll start, and then I'll stop. And then I'll start over again, and then I'll start. And then it's like, okay. And then I just go back to my comfort shows of Hunter x Hunter or like Naruto or something like that and just rewatch those because they're comfortable.
Like the main, so if you, when you get back to watching it, you'll see a lot of designs that you see in Hunter x Hunter. You pretty much kind of come from Yu Yu Hakusho. The freaking, the style of clothes they wear. Like, for example, Knuckle looks just like Kuwabara.
Okay.
That, like, if you look at him, matter of fact.
I'm going to have to bring that up.
Let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah, I remember what Knuckle looks like.
But y'all got me messed up. I'm finna tell y'all what I be watching sometimes. Hold on. It's called... What is this guy's name? You seen him before? You seen him? You seen that?
I have seen him. I have not watched that.
It's good. So I say.
That's not Knuckle.
No, that's Kuwabara.
Okay.
That's
they definitely look alike.
It's one of the main four.
Definitely look alike.
Out of the group.
Okay.
And the main character, Yusuke Urameshi, has hands that are rated E for everybody. Like, anybody can get it.
So, that's what I like, too. I love the fight scenes.
Yeah, honestly,
I love violence in anime.
To be honest,
for sure.
You'll like, since you said you like Naruto, you'll probably like Hiei. Hiei is a lot like Killua. He is. He's like that. He's like that. See, one day you're going to have nothing to do and watch it.
You should. Like, when you're talking about you want to have a couch day tomorrow or whatever, you can.
That's my guy, though.
Or you can just watch
Saki?
Promise Neverland.
I think that's the name of it. Saki?
Saki Kasuo?
Really good. He's psychic, and he be checking his parents, and he can read people's thoughts. And, yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not doubting. I like funny.
It's not that many seasons, so I guess it must not be that good, huh?
Well, I know. No, that's not true. They'll stop off one season, and I'd just be upset.
Really?
Yeah.
And it'd be, so it's just like regular TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had a list like I used to make for people who, like, if you want to get right into it and you want something super short, like Akame ga Kill is perfect.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. I'm like, I cry. I was traveling when I watched that, and I'm not a crier. My friend just told me she was crying the other day, and I laughed at her because I was just like, what you crying for? But I am just like very into like the anime characters. I get really attached to them, and you know, in that anime, everybody die. Like, every episode, we losing somebody. And I was traveling, and I was in the airport just crying. People just walking by me, just trying to figure out. I mean, people just looking like I'm crazy. I'm just sitting there eating with my iPad, just because every time, like, every 10 minutes, somebody's dead. And it was just very emotional for me. But it is a good, I can understand why they didn't make another season, because ain't nobody allowed to continue on. But, yeah, that's a good one. I get very attached.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Now, we did, like, your cool introduction. But now I want to talk about, briefly, in your own words, who is Equasha?
Equasha is I like to say I'm a professional side quester. I get distracted real easy as far as, like, things that I am passionate about. I just go down a rabbit hole, like, I want to be a helicopter pilot. That's something that I'm really pushing for at my fire station, for them to go ahead and buy me that. Which is not ever going to happen, but it's okay. Just a professional side quester, and I really just go with the flow. I'm also very delusional. I think I can do just about anything. Like, there's nothing.
Love that.
I feel like that's out of my reach. I definitely operate off a good state of delusion. And so when it comes to tech and me learning, like, new technologies or something else, I'm just like, a lot of stuff I look at, I'm just like, oh, this is gibberish to me. But I'm a very good figure it outer, very resourceful. So, yeah, I feel like I just describe myself as just very delusional. I just real delusional and very distracted and just passionate about a different thing every 3 days. Every 3 days is something new. So
I would say that I think you are what people call multifaceted.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. I love, like, just seeing, like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
One day you're diving, next day working out, next day, you know, some tech stuff. We just we don't know what we're gonna get, and I love that. I love that because they try to box us into, you have to be on your computer and techie and nerdy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
They don't think that we can be interested in different
have
facets
hobbies,
of life.
Just have other interests outside of sitting in front of a computer. Like, granted, we
I
sit in front of
the
computer all
because,
the time,
because some people need to step away.
I need to. That'd be me. That's why I've been doing so much stuff. I'm like, listen, I've been at this computer for 12 hours now. Like, something has to give, and it's got to give outside. Like, I got to get out the house. I got to go, preferably dive in the ocean, but I'm not close enough to just dive all the time. But, like, anything in the woods, I mean, like, I hunt, like, I hike, I camp. I got these raggedy dogs. Like, I just like to be not in my house as much as possible when I can, like, when I'm not working.
Do you feel like all those different versions of you connect, or do you feel like you're putting on different hats?
Definitely put on different hats. I definitely have to shut off a lot of stuff. Compartmentalizing definitely helps me to, I feel like, be better at those things because I can focus on them. I don't really try and merge all of the hats all the time. Like, kind of the first one and stuff kind of got merged with my diving and stuff because I was just diving for fun. But now, you know, I do diving for, like, search and rescue, and I do it for public safety. So it's still a side quest for me because I'm not paid for it. Like, I'm a volunteer. And people are like, why don't you just go? And because I have all the certs to get paid, but I'm just like, if I got paid for it, it would just take the fun out of a lot of the things that I do. So I definitely don't try and merge them. I think I wear just different hats. have different personas.
Okay, I had another question for you. Were you in the gifted program in elementary?
I was not. Thank you very much. I surely wasn't. You know, I didn't ruin that. I feel like I probably should have been, honestly. I may have been a lot further in life. Like, I might have my yacht by now had I been in one of those focus areas. But no, unfortunately, where I'm from, it's not a lot of individual like attention in our curriculum and like the schools where I'm from ain't great. So, yeah, no.
So, well, that's a running joke. I don't know if you remember seeing this on Twitter a couple years ago, but they were saying like how most of us who were in those like Discoveries or Gateway, whatever program you had in elementary,
like, yeah,
that most of us probably got the tism.
Yeah, I feel like I'll be on the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely would agree. I feel like.
Or like ADHD or whatever.
Oh, so. Yeah, because, and it's crazy because I got diagnosed with ADHD like later in life.
Girl.
So, and literally. I'm just like, wow, had I.
I'm self-diagnosed. I ain't got diagnosed.
Do you feel, because you had a later diagnosis, and you're already a high achiever, overachiever, but do you feel like, oh my God, where could I actually be had I known that this is what I was dealing with? Mm-hmm. How much further do you think about that often?
Very much so. I mean, I'm not putting the blame on nobody, right? Yeah. I just wish that we had that attention and I had the resources to better, like, hone this thing and to use it to propel me versus it be a hindrance. Now, like, I did good in school. Like, I did really good in school. Like, I was always, you know, educated, smart, able to do my work, but I also was also doing a lot of things in school versus just trying to focus and try and get ahead.
Extra curricular activities and stuff, like sports.
Like, I did sports. I did a bunch of sports. I was working. Then, like, I did stuff, like, kind of like volunteer stuff with like church and stuff. So I was just everywhere. I was just always just, like, moving and doing stuff. And I didn't realize that this was a problem. I don't want to say it's a problem. But I mean, it's a problem because I can't focus on something. Like, baby, an unmedicated Equasha now is what, ain't no telling where she going to end up. Like,
no
telling where I'm going to end up because I might be like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I'll just start a project at the house and I'll tore down a wall in the house. And then it's like, girl, you got to go do this. And then I'll start that. And then I left the house and went to Lowe's because I need to pick this up. But then I was like, oh, you know what? I actually need to go to Target. Then I go to, and then I'd be gone the whole day. Like,
yeah. And then you come home and be like, off the wall.
I did nothing was accomplished. I just started all these tasks because I was just like, ooh, like, you know, a shiny thing. And then I'd just be gone. So I have to definitely stay on my medication now.
Now, question with that. So with you finding out later, what changed for you? Like, what are you like versus, I guess, unmedicated, where you feel like that versus where you're at today?
Definitely more focused. I'm able to achieve more as far as, like, my productivity. Like, I just produce a lot more. I have a lot more output as far as, like, completing tasks. I'm very structured.
Calendar-y? That's my, that was one of my questions.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
I have like 50
how
calendars.
Does your calendar look?
It's very colorful. And
people, which calendar are you using?
I use Google Calendar and I use Notion. I use both of them. And like people are like, oh, can we do that? And I'd be like, listen, I just bring it up. I just bring it up. I'm like, well, this is my calendar for this month. Tell me where you think you look like you can fit in. Like, and it's not even like all my calendars showing. I have to take some of them off. So, it's definitely helped me get my life together as far as like being more structured and more organized, and just being able to knock things off my to-do list. Like, I sit there, wake up in the morning, and I have a routine. And if I am off that routine, that like throws me off. Like, a schedule change or me not doing something in the right order. Like, if I would, like, I normally walk downstairs, let the dogs out, then I go to the cabinet and take my meds and my supplements and stuff like that. But if for some reason I go to the cabinet first or walk in my office first before taking the dogs out, and it's just like I'm thrown off. I'm thrown off. So I'm like really
routine.
Very much into a routine and just like identifying what needs to be done, prioritizing, and being able to knock those off and then actually spend time doing those things versus starting, stopping. So now I can like really sit and like, which is kind of bad because I'll really like sit there for like 6 hours, 6, 7 hours and not move. And I'll be like tear from it. Like just like doing stuff or researching something or trying to learn something, and my dogs be like, we ain't been on a walk today, so why is you still at your computer desk? So
yeah
very much very focused now.
Okay, so when you think about, I don't know, let's talk about the dogs. What type? How old? How long have you had them?
I have a boxer and I have a Maltese mix. I've had both of them since they were like 8 weeks. I got them out both as puppies. Actually, both off of Craigslist. Actually.
Really?
Yeah. When Craigslist was a thing and it was semi-safe.
It was definitely a thing. Yeah, let the people know.
Yeah, it was semi-safe to go in there and get stuff. And get you know, stuff. Not. I don't even think. I don't know if it's alive now. But I got them off of Craigslist. The boxer is 5, and Enzo is 8.
I love that name.
Yeah, Enzo and Enix. Enix is a boxer. They're very much my life. They're also very expensive. I tell people all the time. They're biggest expense.
Skin? Like down there, do they have skin issues?
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't got to tell me.
Allergies. Yeah. Just, mm-hmm. And they love to roll up the grass. And they're always looking like, you got Frito paws. Now I got to do all this. Like, it's just a lot. But I do love them a lot. But, yeah, it's they take over my life. Like, when I'm planning things, I have to plan things around them and whether or not I can get them in daycare. Because they go to they're at daycare right now. They're boarding right now at the daycare place. But they go to daycare. Like, on days I know I'm not going to be able to pay no attention. I'm dropping y'all off. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I got to go. But they take up so much of my money and my time. Like, my boxer last week got sick at daycare. Then, like, 2 weeks before. And it's, like, always before I'm getting ready to take a trip. He started limping, like, the week before I went to Bali this year. And I was just like, for what? Like, what? Why? And it's like, all right, $1,500 later. Yeah, he's fine. He probably just pulled the muscle. What?
Yeah. My dog has been having a lot of. I have a bully. Her name is Jasmine. She is 3. And feisty. She's really not feisty, but like she has a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of personality. She's wants to be touched, rubbed, looked
very
at.
Very clingy.
What?
Very clingy.
Extremely. I walk out the room, she walk out the room.
I don't need a chaperone.
She take 2 steps. She's my shadow.
That's what I used to call my small dog, Enzo, but then Enix came in the picture. And I call him my chaperone because he has to go everywhere. I mean, I can't go to the bathroom by myself. Just no. And I tell people, I'm like, yeah, you can't tell me these all came out my coochie. Like, they came out my cooter.
They're
like,
babies. These are humans, for real. These are our babies. And no, people don't, if you're not a dog person or a cat person or a pet person, you just wouldn't understand. I never was a dog person until I lived with somebody who had a dog. And I used to be scared of dogs.
Oh, wow.
Running.
Oh. Now I had to run for something that wasn't me. Yeah.
Running. Because I got chased by a dog when I was younger.
So did I. I still love them, though.
No.
But I definitely got chased by
something.
That traumatized me. Them strays, but
I said, get it up out of here. Get it up out of here. Get it up out of here.
No, really.
When it was a Rottweiler. It was black. It was huge. And I was probably like, I wasn't even, let's just say I was 8, but I don't even think I was 8. When I tell you I was running for my life.
Yeah,
that put a bad taste on my tongue.
Mm.
But now I almost want to touch every dog I see if they have a nice, cute wagon tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the wagon tail can sometimes be the opposite of what you think.
Yeah, that's why I ask people. Is your dog friendly?
Yeah, you got to ask.
And I love when people be like, no.
Because all dogs
are not.
They're not.
They're not supposed to be friendly. Dogs are not. Mm-mm. Yeah.
And I think some people don't understand that, especially some other people. They just run up and put a hand out, and thankfully, you know, my dogs are very sweet and they for everybody. They very unfaithful, you know. I'm like, y'all for anybody.
No,
like, anybody.
For real. Like, literally.
I was like, well, dang. But, you know, you should ask, because if my dog wasn't, you know,
friendly,
nice,
yeah,
and you
took it upon yourself
to bite, now they mad when I put my dog down. Put who out down? You put that person down, because why you come up and touch my stuff? Because what? Because why are you even?
That is so funny.
I'm real protective about my babies. Don't come over here.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the career pivot that you went through. So coming out of the military, tell us, first of all, what made you want to join? What branch? And how long? If you want to say.
I'm from a very small town in Florida, and like, we got like 2 stoplights, 2 gas stations, no grocery store, like nothing around. So I just wanted a way out, and I did not want to go to school, which is crazy because I got 3 degrees, but it's fine. I didn't want to go to school then. I hated school. I was ready to get out. And I did JROTC, Army JROTC, when I was in high school, and I was just like, I'm going to go to military. And originally I wanted to go, my sergeant major was like, "You're not joining the Army." He immediately told me, he was like, "You can't join the Army." I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna trust you because you've been in the, and you know me a little bit, you know where I need to go." But I was very much considering the Marines only because
1,000% can see you as a Marine.
I just want the sword. I just want the uniform with the sword. I literally told them that, and then they were. But when they told me that the BMT was 12 weeks, I was just like, I don't want to be in BMT that long. And that's the only reason why I'm not in the Marines. And I'm so glad I went to the Air Force. Mm-hmm. I'm even Marines, y'all crazy. Like,
I think you could do it.
I think that's, I could do like, it. I just don't the 12
weeks
quality.
Is a long
the, yeah,
time.
And the quality of life for other branches versus the Air Force. They call us the Cheer Force because we're real spoiled and they actually treat us like humans.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So yeah. So I ended up going to the Air Force, and I was in the Air Force for 7 years. And in the Air Force, I was a network engineer. So that's like where my
Easy.
Yeah.
It's been your thing.
Yeah.
You've been doing this. So,
yeah.
So like 18, like fresh?
I left at 17, actually.
Okay.
I actually turned 18 in basic training. It was real ghetto. Yep. It was fine, though. It was just ghetto.
Okay, so I have worked with some veterans before who are trying to re-enter the workspace, and a lot of them have issues translating their skills. Mm-hmm. So for you, how was that for you? Because you were kind of already doing that. Did you find that you had to, I guess, repackage that background?
On the resume, for sure, because I had never did a resume before. I was trying to give people my EPR as like, here's my resume. And that's like our performance review. It's not
okay,
a resume at all.
I'm like, okay.
I was like, what's the EPR? I'm like, it's our performance review, whatever. So I ended up using the resources for when you're getting out. Oh, I forgot what it's called. When you're a year out, you have to go to this class for like a week, and they tell you all these resources that the VA has or Veteran Affairs has, and the resources for you, so you can make sure you do get a job and how to. And they show you how to like create a resume, how to translate your skills to do that. But I think it was easier for me because the work I did in the Air Force was directly like exactly the same as what you would do in the civilian world as a network engineer versus some other veterans maybe coming from different fields that are very niche to the military, and it's harder to translate those skills to something in the civilian world. But for me, it was easy because I was just doing the same thing. So like, when I left, I became I got a job as a network engineer right out of the military. So it was just doing the same thing, and I was still working on a government contract. So the world was very much the same. So I didn't really have to do a whole – and I worked with a lot of prior military people, so I didn't really have to do a whole lot of kind of like code switching to like from military to civilian world. So my transition was actually easier. So for other veterans, I feel like they don't TAP. It's called TAP, Transition Assistance Program. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of us go to that week thing. I think it's like a week off because we get to be out of uniform. People be sleeping in class. I feel like you just
need to really, take advantage of it.
Yeah, you need really to pay attention. Like, you need to take, like, I still got notes from there.
Yeah. I mean, because they're giving you all the resources.
Yeah, and telling you how to maximize that. So I just, if you pay attention and then actually reach out, and then they have people on base who will help you do a resume and translate your skills into a civilian resume. So I feel like that, doing that and doing it early, like that when you know you were a year out and you know you're getting out, start then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll, was trying
just
to get
like so
there.
Like pretend like this is your last year of school, and how would you be trying to find a job? Is it something like that?
Like
you know how you feel that pressure, like I'm in my junior year, I'm graduating next year, I need to start applying.
I need to be figuring out something. I gotta have some sort of plan because this check
fits. Is it like an actual end date? So like if you're supposed to be done, is it like you're gonna be done July 12th?
Yeah,
like
unless
you know
the date. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
You signed that contract for I did 6 years, but then because I went to go to Japan, I had to extend for a year. So I just extended a year from my current date. And so I knew exactly, I've always known when I was getting out. I was trying to get out earlier and they were like, girl, no. And I'm just like, okay, well. Y'all do owe me a little bit, so I stayed where I was at, so it was time for me to go. I got to leave like a few months early because I had to leave, and so I went on terminal leave, and I started work, so.
Okay, good stuff. Okay, so let's spin over to Tech E Consulting. So what made you want to go ahead and start there? Did you see a gap? What was it that made you, because I've been following you. If you ain't been following my girl, I've been following her for a while, and she's been giving out free game for a long time. Free resources, how can you get tickets to conferences, scholarships, labs. Like, you've been giving out the free game for a while. So when did you say, all right, let me go ahead and put a little price tag on
it? Yeah, I want a yacht.
Okay.
Real talk, I want a yacht. Yacht's expensive. And also, I got people, tired of people playing with my time. Mm-hmm. You know, put my energy. Like, I don't like to pour into somebody and they're not going to use what I'm giving them because I'm very busy. And we all busy, especially as an adult, right? So if I'm taking time out of my day to look up these resources and send these to you directly and talk to you, you know, outside of, off of Instagram, whatever, because I'm like, okay, I'm investing in you trying to get this job or get this promotion or whatever, and then you just don't do nothing, that'd be pissing me off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've given away, like, serve vouchers and stuff. Look, I was just like, here. I'm like, I want all of them. I'm like, there's money. Everybody can get some. Everybody can get some. And it's like, they just weren't serious. I'm just like, well, now you want to talk to me. Here goes my booking link, and we can chop it up then. And it's crazy because I really don't advertise my business like I'm supposed to. And people just be finding me. And I just like, okay, well, cool. So now, like, word of mouth
will do you well, it though. It does. Especially when you treat people well.
It does. Yep. It does. I'm very thankful. So for me starting Techie Consulting, that was kind of the first driver for me to be able to just people stop putting my time. But then also I just want to expand my reach. And so I'm really focused on, like, GovTech, HealthTech, and I'm really trying to pivot into startups. And offering them just like assistance as far as like what they're trying to do with build out their products and stuff. Like, I was working with this one founder and helping them build out their MVP as like their standard, like their initial like CTO and stuff like that. So it was really cool just to get that experience. And just being able to expand my reach. Like, when you own or you are an entrepreneur, you can do what you want to do as far as like professional development versus on your 9-to-5. You are siloed to
whatever
that niche. Team is, that niche is. I can't touch other stuff. And so I know I want to touch other stuff. So mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, let me just do this. So it's been going well. Like, I'm very excited about it. Like, I'm not even a year old yet here.
Just about to ask you, how old are you?
No, I'm not even a year old yet. I'm about 7-8 months. So, yeah.
Okay, so how were the first 4 to 6 months?
It was a lot just like setting it up, getting workflows together, getting our paperwork together. I had to get all my certifications as far as like veteran owned business, like small business certifications, getting my cage number so I can be able to bid on contracts and stuff. Excuse me. Just getting all the stuff together and then getting the most I've done so far is like getting the back end set up, getting a slide deck set up so I can present to the clients and getting the onboarding for these clients as far as like
we're going to work.
It's a lot.
Are you solo? It's just you?
Yeah.
Baby, you don't even got by. I already know.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, I would love to go to bed right now, but it's like, yeah, no, you need to be setting this up. So it's me, Notion, and Claude, and Chat, and I use all of them. I've like created like this little dashboard to help me source like RFPs and get them like delivered to me so I can obviously just keep the workflow going. So like setting up different automations has definitely helped me, but it's definitely a lot being solo, and especially in a space that I'm trying to get into. I would eventually need a team or at least like subcontractors, and that's kind of like more like the right I want to go, because I don't want to be responsible for nobody. You see it, please get it. Jesus, I ain't got no spoolie.
I feel it. Yes, I can see. I know how that is because you can't see it.
Yeah, I feel something falling in my face and I can't get it. Yeah. So yeah, definitely difficult, but it's fun. I feel like it's very rewarding. I definitely think it's something that will eventually give me my yacht, and which is, that's like the main goal. People are like, I'm crazy. That's
so again delusional. Where, I'm just asking. Where are you gonna put it in Florida? Your yacht?
No.
Where?
I would like to be in like the Caribbean somewhere.
Okay. Period.
Or like Central America, because diving.
Mm-hmm. You want some good water.
Yeah, I want some good water. I can go dive. Like, yeah. I would love to just walk out and, you know, just the chef's in there cooking. I made breakfast. I eat breakfast and I just put my tank on, my BCD, and I'm just in the water for a little bit. That would be the life for me. So that's the goal. I feel like we got a ways to get there, but I'm not going to say that because the Lord do mighty things and it could be tomorrow.
I like how you said. When we were first talking, you were like, I'm delusional, and go hard, dream big. This is like, if you don't dream big, what are we doing?
What you doing?
What are we doing?
It's like you're not really trying to reach. You're not trying
like
to
your dream reach. Should actually make you feel like that's a little bit too much.
Yeah, so, like I'm not doing enough.
Exactly.
Yet, yeah. But we're going to get there. So, yeah, it definitely keeps me going, keeps me motivated, but, you know, motivation dies, so you have to be disciplined.
No, you do.
Like, motivation dies. You got to be disciplined. Like, do you really want? I'm like, yeah, I really, really want to just wake up and just jump in the ocean and be done. Like, so that's a go.
Okay, so let's pivot a little bit and talk about the cloud and compliance. So I know you've worked in both AWS and Azure. Who do you think is winning presently today? I guess in terms of, first, which one do you enjoy working more
AWS.
In?
AWS.
AWS?
Hands down.
And why?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just feel like every time I log into Azure, I mean, no shade. Right, no shade, because I'm trying to be one of their partners. So no shade to y'all. But I just feel like it's the GUI and the commands in the AWS CLI is easier for me to grasp. Mm-hmm. And
did you start in AWS?
Yes.
Okay.
I started in AWS. So when I became a cloud engineer, I had never touched cloud. They really drug me to apply for this job or be submitted for this job. And I was just like, I was still doing a network engineer, just like, I don't know about the cloud, but because I had this F5 experience and they had F5, they're like, we can still leverage that. And I'm thankful they did because I love cloud. So I definitely prefer AWS, but I don't think anyone's really like winning. I feel like there's a place for both of them.
I love that.
Especially in the government. So I feel like AWS is more for like federal civilian type work because they have a lot of FedRAMP compliant or FedRAMP compliance, but they're like rated for FedRAMP. So Azure GovCloud is more so like DoD because mm-hmm. they have like the Microsoft, and they've been able to push with Microsoft like 365 and Entra ID and like the hybrid on-prem stuff as far as like Active Directory stuff. So I feel like Azure is definitely more so DoD, and then AWS is doing a lot of federal, as far as like GovTech. Mm-hmm. AWS is more like federal civilian stuff. So I feel like it's a place for each one. I feel like, I mean, obviously the services are pretty much the same. They just have different names. You just have to kind of code switch a little bit. Yeah, I don't think that's why. I think they both have a really big presence right now.
So have you ever worked on the commercial side?
I worked in health tech.
Okay, yeah, so... There's a big difference from health tech to gov tech. So, yeah. And I guess they might be cousins, right? Mm-hmm. Health tech might move slow, but government's going to move much slower. So
I was going to say, but yeah. Government's slow. I was going to say, because the government extra slow.
So, so like when it comes to, I guess, that piece of it, you can't move fast, you know, on the government side. How was that shift for you?
I couldn't really move fast over that either, honestly. Yeah.
They're close.
It's real close. HIPAA is real strict, like too. I mean, and we have NIST compliance stuff in health tech too. So, it was kind of the same thing. It's just who are you basing like your audit and your controls off of, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's eventually saying it was faster in health tech, being able to get more stuff approved, because in health tech you're just really going for the organization for approval. Like, but with the government, you going to that organization and then the government POC and then that government agency, and then it just takes forever to go through all the red tape. But yeah, I feel like they both slow, honestly. That's why I'm saying I'm trying to get into the startups, because they move real fast.
They extremely fast.
Like, it might be too much.
Too fast.
Yeah, it might be too much, but I'm really hoping to take on, like, an adventure challenge, so it's fine.
So, I mean, I guess, like, a lot of folks will say that they are cloud native, but when you pop into the environment, what are you finding? Because I think a lot of folks are still... Unless you're a newer company, most folks are still kind of hybrid.
Yeah.
But how are you experiencing this in your world?
I feel like they say cloud native, and they just like lift and shifts. Mm-hmm. And
is it shifted and lifted, right?
It's mm-hmm. just lifted.
Yeah.
No, it is. I feel like it's just lifted, good. And I'd be like... I get what
lift
you're trying.
Some more. Lift
yeah,
some more.
I know what you're trying to do, but you didn't. You started, but you ain't finished. Yeah. And so they will move their things and try to keep it the exact same
way.
Like, yeah. Networking,
they
like
think
segmentation,
it's apples
and stuff.
To apples,
and it's not. Yep. It's really not. And I'm like, what was the reason for you to move to the cloud if you don't really take advantage of it? And all the different things you can do to actually make your infrastructure and your environment like more modern and work for you versus just like on-prem stuff. Even though on-prem stuff is getting, you know, you can do more. So they brought in like SD-WAN, like AI, all that stuff into on-prem. But I feel like with the cloud, it's limitless almost. So when they are doing these lifts and shifts, you want the specs the exact same, just make it work. You just want to make sure it works in the cloud. And it's like you should be trying to take advantage of the cloud and make it better and work better for you. So I feel like that's where I see the cloud native narrative going. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're cloud native. I'm just like, okay, how? What are you doing?
Well, let me see.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, okay, let me. Can you get a drawing so I can see, like, what's your workflow like? So, yeah.
Okay. Good stuff. Okay, so let's pivot back over to the side quest. So, public safety diver.
Yeah.
How long has that been?
A few years.
I do remember when I inboxed you and I was like, I can't even swim.
But yeah, and I'd be so upset people say that. But also, I tell people, I'd be like, I'd be trying to be funny. I'd be like, y'all can't swim either. I'm like, you don't even know how to swim to dive because you don't. Because I'm not a great, I can swim, but I am not a great swimmer. And I'm rating that.
What is the difference?
Well, I'm rating it off of public safety because they have swift water rescue, right? And so they get dropped into like rapids and they can swim against the rapids.
That's different.
Real different. Yes. And I say that because I had to go and had to do a training and
It was a little rough.
What? I was like, get me out of here. They had me on attached to a rope so that it wouldn't take. But I'm just like, baby, get me out of here. It was fun. It was very fun. And it just told me that I'm just not a good swimmer.
That wasn't your area.
I feel like I'm not a good swimmer.
So you're under.
I prefer to be under the water.
Like majority of the diving is under the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple years for that, volunteer firefighter. Tell us a little bit more.
A couple years for that, too. So I got into public safety diving through a volunteer fire department. I was at one, and I moved to another one, the one I'm at now. But that's how I got started with the whole public safety thing. And then when I moved to this new department, I kind of expanded my reach a little bit by getting on the drone team as well. So we do search and rescue operations there. I'm also part of another agency where they do technical rescues, and that's kind of like confined space type of stuff. And they still also do a lot of ground, like on the ground search and rescue. Like we have people who go missing or kids that go missing and they go and they do that. They just had a certification course like last month and they had to get stay in the woods and survive off of nothing and figure it out. So
in the woods.
Yeah. I mean, I like camping and stuff. I just prefer to have my stuff with me.
Yeah. You know?
But I have to do that. I have to do that course eventually, but just didn't work out as far as like timing. But yeah, I did that. I started that a couple years ago with that and doing a search and rescue. And with this new department, my chief really be pushing me to do other stuff. And I'd be like, just come down. Like, so I got my EVD, which is like emergency vehicle driver's license. So now I can drive the fire truck now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's big, real big. Huge. I'd be like during the test, I'm like, can I turn my sirens on now? And they're like, you probably don't even know what button. Because there's so many buttons on the fire.
I'm sure there are.
First, it's so many buttons. It's like a cockpit, like an airplane cockpit. It's so many buttons. And they do so many things. I'd be like, baby, I don't know what I'm doing. So definitely expand my reach there. I sit on the board there. Actually, I'm the secretary of the board at the fire department. And we're doing a lot of things. Like we have kids camp coming up. We just had adult camp for the first time. I call myself a community steward. So I love doing things that where I can have a positive impact on the community. So I get to have my fun and then, you know, help somebody else out.
Okay, so you do realize those are two pretty high stress environments, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so So with that being said, do you feel like being, you know, this professional side question, do you feel like that makes you be better at engineering? Or do you use those type of activities to escape from maybe the mental?
It's definitely my escape.
Okay.
It's definitely my escape.
So you're just blowing off some steam.
I'd be so excited to get away from my computer. I'm telling y'all, like, so we have things at the fire, so we just did a tech refresh. And they're like, oh, we have our techie here. Are you? No, I'm not gonna help you do nothing.
She can fix your laptop.
Definitely not doing it. They're like, we're getting a new printer. I'm not doing none of that stuff. Like, I'm not helping you install no computers. Like, I don't want to do nothing with tech outside of flying the drones. I do like the drones. So we have the infrared. We just got a new drone. If you see this, I know I ain't go to training last month and you fly the new drone, but I'm gonna be there next month. We got a new drone with infrared and stuff. So you can do you know the drones are super capable, especially in like first responder type of realms. Like, you have the mic, you can talk to yell to people when you're finding somebody, trying to see if they're alive, but you mainly just like flying over whatever the woods and trying to see if you can find a warm body or whatever. We also have an underwater drone that we use as well. And it's just really cool. I like the tech space of that, but don't put me in front of no computer having dinner.
So do you feel like your tech background crosses over into some of that drone work? Like do for that, and then do you have your own drone?
I do have my own drone. Collecting dust right now, but it's okay. Cause I just got my drone license, so.
She got a big boy one. Yeah, you gotta get it licensed. It's legitimate, okay?
I got my part 107, and I definitely think that me being tech savvy helps with it because some people at my
might not know how to.
Yeah, in my department, they are not as tech savvy, so it helps with being able to just operate the equipment that we get because we. Our volunteer fire department, and so when we get money, when we get these grants, and we get these donations to buy this equipment, we have to make sure we're using it effectively because they're giving it to us so that we can make sure we can help out when we're called. Like, we can't have nobody out here, and we can't do a sonar on the boat. We also have a underwater sonar, too, and that is really cool. I got really, like, into that for, like, a good couple months, and then I still want to do it or still use it if we get called out, but I didn't realize how technical sonars was.
And that's the sound wave, right?
Yeah. And then, like, he makes a picture of what's underwear. You can tell whether it's made of wood, if it's made of metal. Like, you can tell, kind of look at it and see how long it's been under the water based on, like, the buzziness of it has, like, debris on it and stuff like that. So it's really cool. So I definitely think my tech lifestyle or, you know, me being in tech helped me to propel more in that space. And it keeps me interested because they be introducing me to new things, too. So as long as I'm learning new stuff, I'm always happy.
Period. Okay, so do you see a future where more tech folks or professionals should be? Do you think they should be maybe getting into public safety to contribute that skill set? Because hear me out. For example, I mean, you can't really be like a volunteer police officer, but we know that a lot of police departments are not equipped with the technical skill set that is needed to do certain things and perform certain types of investigations. So. Mm-hmm. From that lens, fire department, you're search and rescue, touching these different pieces of equipment. Is that an untapped field?
For a tech person to go to it, I would say not really. Because, like you said, there's not really volunteer police departments and stuff. You will have to
have to be a career.
You have to be a career. And the money we make and money they make, they're just not on par. And so I didn't think there's always a volunteer fire department somewhere. Right. I definitely think you should try and get involved in that because we do end up working closely with the law enforcement. Yeah. Like, that's where we get called out. When I get called out to go look for evidence because somebody done threw a gun somewhere and they're like, we need this for whatever. Because I have like underwear CSI. So it's a whole thing of like collecting the evidence properly and doing the documentation and stuff. And that's helping the law enforcement agencies.
Aid their
investigation. So I wouldn't necessarily say like, y'all go do a whole lift and shift. But if you are near a volunteer fire department, please lend a hand because they always need the help. There's a reason it's a volunteer thing. They're not getting as much money on. And you always have like a really, it's really good to just have a really good positive impact on your community because, I mean, if it's nearby you, it's serving you in some sort of way too. And it also affects your insurance rates. I didn't know that until I started working there. Like if your fire department gets like a low score on this thing called ISO, don't ask me what it stands for, it affects how much your insurance is going to be. So you should go help your people so your insurance go down. Property insurance. Mm. I didn't know that.
We love a gym. We love a gym. Yeah. Okay, service and sisterhood. Let's transition over to talk a little bit more about Delta Sigma Theta. Talk about some of your mentorship work.
I just did
it. No, it wasn't loud enough.
It was.
I'm screaming.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny.
Are you producing? Stay at your producer. And you're producing over there. Oh my gosh. No, I'm very excited. I just had my Deltaversary last month. It's crazy. It's a whole year.
Happy Deltaversary.
Thank you. I love Delta's mission. They've always just had a positive impact on the community, make things happen. Before I joined, I was volunteering with some of their programs and I love working with the youth. So anywhere that I can help the next generation be better prepared to, one, not be a dirt bag and just take up space, because you know the earth is losing a lot of our resources. So I need you to come up and be doing something with yourself, and then being able to help other people. So, it, but also being self sufficient is also big, especially in our community, which is where a lot we focus on, right? Our community, and so making sure that they are exposed to different things and they're learning how to take care of themselves, whether that's like mentally, we do a lot of work for them for their mental health, financially. Professionally, as far as like trying to figure out where you're going, what you're going to do with your life. Obviously, we have scholarships and stuff to help them get to school, but just having a positive impact on them. We just closed our sorority year, so we just had the in our last session for these committees that I'm on, which is gyms and also Delta Carousel. And it's just great to, and I'm really kind of sad, and I'm ready for the next session too. I'm excited for the break because it's a lot of kids. But I love seeing them grow up and grow, and you know, do great things. Like they're all getting, going to college, seniors going to college, and we have them do like progress reports versus during our sessions, and so we can see when they're making those changes and taking it to heart, and it's like positively impacting their daily life. So that's what we want in the end. So. Yeah, I love being a part of that. I love volunteering and helping the youth. I was doing that. I started doing that in the military. I feel like just doing random things with kids, as far as like helping to build them up and do like a lot of mental health stuff. I used to volunteer at a horse camp in California where it kind of helped the kids regulate their emotions.
I was literally about to say, it like anger related?
Yeah, it was trying to help them like emotion regulation. I thought that was really cool. So I've just always been excited about just helping the next generation grow up.
So now, do you think that excitement comes from you were able to participate in programs like that, so you kind of want to reach back, or you did not have the opportunity to, so you kind of see it from that lens, like this is something that's needed and I want to be
It's not something that I really had the opportunity to partake in, and obviously I made it and it's fine, but a lot of my friends haven't, like they haven't. I go back home and you know I still go see them, I love them, but there was potential that wasn't tapped into because of the resources and just like we lacked guidance. Yeah. And I'm like, I know that I got out because I got out. Like I actually physically left and went to the military. And I got exposed to a just so
different world.
Yeah. So much
literally
more.
Literally a different world. Yeah. You were in Japan.
Yeah. I got exposed to so much more. So yeah, me wanting to continue to work with the youth, so they can have more knowledge and have, know that they have options. Mm-hmm. Is big.
Okay, so it's been a year for you. You are in Raleigh. You got your Lion Sisters. You're doing your thing. We love. Now let's make our conversation a little bit more hot seat. You ready?
Turn the fan on.
Okay. I'm just messing with you. Okay, so what is the biggest lie people are telling today about breaking into the cloud?
I'm not even in the cloud the second period. Just tech period. You're going to get this cert. You're going to get a six-figure job immediately. That's a lie. Don't work like that.
What's more closer to the truth in what you've been experiencing?
First of all, this market sucks, right? It's very hard. We got people who got 20 years of experience getting laid off and looking for jobs, right? So it's a very tough and competitive market. But you have to set yourself apart and gain exposure. I think the biggest thing is really being able to show what you know. Like, yeah, your resume is cool. The certs are cool, right? I got a million certs. Having a cert is cool, but that's just going to get you through the ATS. Like, that's a checkbox. But when you get in that interview, you need to know how to talk that. And I feel like a lot of people will get the cert and be like, okay, and get upset because they don't get a job because they're just applying. It's like, you got this cert, but now can you talk about what you're supposed to know from that cert? Have you built anything? Even outside of cloud, right? Even like network engineering, and you want to do, or you're doing, people, especially the cybersecurity whole plug. If I'm going to be in cybersecurity, I'm like, what in cybersecurity?
Yeah. No, that...
I was like, you know, that's a broad field. Girl. You're trying to do incident response. You're trying to be in literally, what is it trying to do in cybersecurity?
My favorite thing to say is stop asking people how to break into something and come with something a little bit more than that.
You ain't even need a basic Google search to get in my inbox.
Like, blocked. It's one thing to say how to break into cyber. That's not a good question. And that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. It's not a stupid question. It's just not a good question.
Right.
Now, a better question is, okay, I think I'm interested in the infrastructure side of the house. What are some certifications or maybe some platforms or tools that I like? That's a more targeted question that you can get a better answer.
Right.
Because when you ask someone how to break into cyber, first of all, you could be talking to someone that's doing networking, right? So,
before I moved to cloud, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm in a Cisco router and switch. I ain't doing nothing SOC related.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's security in network engineering, like with firewalls and stuff like that, but I can't tell you nothing at that time about like GRC and ISO work, but then they didn't know what they wanted to do anyway. Like I knew what those jobs were, but I'm asking what they want to do, and they're like, oh, I don't know. If you don't know, why are you talking to me? Yeah. I can't tell you what to do with your life, mm-hmm. right? I can guide you and give you like a roadmap and tell you what to do to try to be successful in this field. But you didn't even pick the field. You didn't even pick three fields. I'd be like, you can narrow it down to three. And like, I can help literally. You with three. Like, but you come with nothing.
But no idea. Nothing. Because it's such a broad. That's like saying I want to be a doctor.
Okay. What kind? OBGYN?
Awesome.
Dentist?
Yeah.
Like, or do you want to be like a doctor, like a professor?
Dr. Yeah,
thank right. you. Literally. Please go away.
Go back to producing. Because why you come here like that?
I was actually working.
I know. I was just used producing.
Okay, so what's one thing that you had to stop doing in order for you to like really level up? Like, what do you feel like took you from here to here?
It's gonna sound real shallow, but being able to really afford to travel and buy nice things, and
take care of yourself.
Yeah, I knew I needed to make. I wanted to support my lifestyle, and I know to get more money, I need to upskill. So that was a driver, especially when you leave that safety net of the military, right? You're kind of saying, you know, for however long your contract is, you're going to have a check unless you do something absolutely wild to get kicked out, right? And so I came from doing that for 7 years, and it's like, okay, now you're in the wild, wild west, kind of like people can cut you mm-hmm. tomorrow. Like, yep. Especially, you know, today, it's like I can walk out here and lose my job, right? Like, it's... It happened at any time. So it's like trying to make sure that I'm staying competitive and marketable. That was the shift for me. And that happened probably like my first year out of the military because I loved that job that I got when I first left, first separated. And I actually really missed that company, but I ain't going back because they're too far away. But when I was transitioning from that job and just learning more about a job, because then I was really like applying to jobs and trying to interview because I hadn't done like I did. One interview and got a job. And I thought, I'm going to just take you because I'm getting out in like 3 months. I need a job. So the first like offer I got, I was like, cool. But then now I'm learning the market. I understand that you can ask for more mm-hmm. and you can get paid more. And this is what it looks like, what you need to be able to justify somebody paying you this much. And again, just trying to stay competitive. This market crazy. Like,
so I like what you said. And I feel like people are scared to, a lot of people, and I don't know why, but a lot of people are scared to say that they're motivated by money. I'm not. That's my number one motivation.
Quite literally, that's literally in my performance. You know, y'all little things we do for the annual reviews, and they be like, well, what's my paycheck? It's literally in the system. I'm here because this supports my lifestyle outside. Like, it's not that I love working here. I mean, I do appreciate y'all, but it's not like,
you don't wake up just buying and dying.
I'm just like, I'm not passionate. I would love to just already have millions of dollars in the bank and not have to come clock into your job, you know? So, yeah, I'm just very honest with that, yeah.
Let's see.
Even if it was a mess right now.
Nah, because y'all were doing great. I really hated I had to interject myself. This was, you know, we might have to have Destiny have our own segment. But... I want to get back on the getting into the tech stuff. I want to hear like the funny stuff. Like, what is the stupidest question I've heard asked? And I'm gonna say why I say it's stupid. On Twitter, I had a thread talking about why I was telling people why Sec Plus and the CYSA Plus didn't prepare you to be a SOC analyst. And in the thread, there's a guy asked me about getting a Sec Plus or something. I'm like, why are you asking about that on this thread, dog?
People don't read.
Or they always hit me up, hey, will Sec Plus give me? No, it won't. Like, it can help out. It can get an interview.
It's going to check that box that they say you should have it.
Right.
And it's.
But even if you look up what a SOC analyst does, right, versus what Security Plus teaches you, you would know.
CISA's more in alignment.
It's more. It doesn't prepare you.
It's more in alignament than Sec Plus. That's all I'm
it's
saying.
It's more in alignment than Sec Plus. That's what I'm saying. Like, so if you ain't even look to compare what
the difference is.
Yeah, you ain't did no type of research. Get away, like, you ain't even a basic Google. And now, especially because AI is
in the literally.
But people don't know how to prompt.
It's not even about prompt, though. If you Google it, you know, Google has.
But they don't even know how to.
Gemini.
But the AI
I agree,
response
but I'm
comes
saying
up.
They don't even know the right thing to Google.
What
I can't.
What jobs are in cybersecurity? That's basic. Like, what can I do in cybersecurity? Like, that's,
I think some people even. So I, you know, I'm going on 6 years of doing this now, and I do. Look, I use Gemini all the time. She know me. I love Gemini.
I hate it.
Like, I use it.
I ask Gemini all the time. Hey, I got a client. Right, you're an expert career coach, and you are helping a client that is an IT help desk. They want to transition to cybersecurity. Analyze their resume, and based on what's in the resume, what you know will be good for them, and we'll come up with stuff. It's stuff I probably said to them in the call
countless times,
but
right?
Now they see it,
right? And it's and I do that too. With Claude, build out my whole progress reports, my onboarding and stuff, and to look at their resume and compare it and help us, you know, apply to jobs, whatever. I just feel like a lot of people are lazy, right?
They are.
I think you said they're lazy.
You know what? No, I'm not. I'm not. This is the word, because remember we had the whole talk about Gen Z. Are you Gen Z?
No, millennial.
Okay.
Thank you.
I had to make sure. I didn't want to offend
you. Yeah. The thing because we had a millennial versus Gen Z, like, segment. And
no,
it was,
Gen
it was
Z's
good.
Lack initiative.
Okay.
So
I'll agree with that, too.
So I don't think it's lazy. I think it's just initiative. They lived in a microwave society world. They ain't have to go to Channel 9 to see what's coming on TV.
Or play with the antenna on the TV.
They play with the antenna
to
make sure it's right. So I can get PBS to show Watch Back and Tales.
Or try to go to one of them channels that don't work, and this place, oh, this is a pay-per-view right here. They ain't have to do that either.
Yep.
Oh, they always been able to use crack streams. So they live, their outlook on life is totally different from ours. We was the last people that was in analog and now digital.
Yeah. And I was talking to a professor, and they were just like, I'm really scared. Like, this was in college. Like,
no,
I'm really scared
seriously.
Because, like, the critical thinking and them just not even trying.
They can't read.
Because this,
they're not trying.
Do you know how hard it is to write a paper? No, seriously. Let's talk about it.
An hour before the deadline.
Do you know how hard it is?
Pushing out
like raw words and thoughts and
having to cite it, having to cite.
Conclusions?
Yes.
And then look, back then, everybody didn't have no computer. You was writing by hand.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's the first draft.
Right.
See, they don't
and
know.
And you turn your first draft.
They don't know nothing about the first draft.
Yes, you turn your rough
but
draft.
But you know, now think about if I really think about school as a kid, it kind of do prepare you to work because we used to do these. I would compare it to being like a scrum meeting. Do you remember being a kid and y'all had a writing assignment and you made like the little web with the thing in the middle and then you had the stuff connected to the web?
I call those brain dumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do it at work too. When a new project coming up, everybody giving that thing, you got the scrum master typing in the stuff. You did it as a kid. You just ain't know it.
Yeah, know? That's true.
I do those when I'm studying for something. Like, I'll put the concept in the middle and then just branch out everything that I can remember and how it kind of all relates.
Mm-hmm. Now, to get back on having some more fun, with you being a black woman in tech.
I was going to go there. That was my next one.
No, I was going to ask
you. No, this is good.
I love asking about your experience. How's it been with your managers? Have they been white men? Have they been black men? Have they been Latin men?
I've never had a black manager. I'll start there. Never, ever. Most of my career outside of the Air Force, I have been the only black person and sometimes mostly the only woman on the team. So it's definitely challenging, right? Trying to just justify your existence there and being on the team and being able to provide, you know, whatever expertise. Even when I was learning, coming, you know, didn't have as much experience as other people, but just having to force them to listen to me and my ideas and I think my solution could be is always very difficult. On the management side, I've had some good managers and I've had some
not so good,
not so intelligent, not so like why you heal type managers. Like,
we've all been there.
Yeah.
And it's that part is frustrating to me. When you have a manager who doesn't know their team, doesn't know how to speak for their team, doesn't know how to liaison with other teams for us to get what we need and to complete a project. That's frustrating because now there's a barrier that's not me. There's a barrier that I can't really alleviate because I don't want your job, first of all. I don't want to be a manager. In my head, I'm going from individual contributor to CTO. There's no in between for me. That's again the delusion. This is why techie consulting, I get to be a CTO sometimes. So It's very frustrating when you have management that is just not skilled in managing people, and especially on the technical side. I don't know if y'all saw my story the other day, But my manager asked about, he didn't ask. I sent something out and I was like, hey, I need y'all to make sure y'all have access to this Splunk index. So put this query into Splunk. And this person wrote back and was like, they just like clicked on the link that was inside the query. And then they said, no, that link didn't work for me. I don't have the app downloaded on my computer. I tried it in the command prompt.
They tried what?
The Splunk query.
In the command prompt?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then said they didn't have the Splunk app downloaded. And I responded and he was like, how do you get to it? I was like, you go to Splunk and you paste in the query.
That reminds me of Tavion was sharing something one time on a story about the dude didn't know how to get to whatever index in AWS or something, and he was like, bro, it's right there. And I was like, I think what you're describing is actually what really grinds my gears. Because your interview will be harder than what the job is. If you get the job, most of the people are there mediocre. They never us. We rarely are mediocre.
We have to overperform.
I'm going to tell you who mediocre. And you just talked to Lisa about these people.
I knew you were going to say that. And it's crazy because this person is that. So
exactly. Yeah, my homie worked for OCC, and he told me about this dude. He said, man, he don't know nothing. Like, bro, I don't know how he got the job.
They look great on paper.
They look great on paper. Then this is what they do. They will sabotage your interview to bring their people in.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely.
Yep.
Now, with the whites, they'll act like the interview went well just to not get you.
Yeah.
And pick somebody else up. That's the more their archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a video that we may react to if we can record Sunday where it's a black dude talking about, hey, this is how you get the job in corporate America. Get you a pair of glasses. Do this, do that.
What?
Yeah, because Charles talked about that a lot. Wear you a pair of glasses to your interview.
Mm-hmm. I'm screaming.
Yeah.
Well, I can't see without mine.
Look a little studious. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they're not wrong.
But you know, the funny thing is, I've interviewed with a dude that was vaping during our interview.
What?
You told me that.
I promised the guy.
The person that was interviewing
him. I will tell you the company offline, but real deal. And this is, I put it like this, it's a major financial institution. I just put it like that. And whoever listening here, they can try to go deep dive. Dude was cool as a fan, though. But I just don't be liking how we got to have all these things we got to do. Put the time in. You don't get a response. I'd be wanting to see who. The one thing I don't like is sometimes people be getting hired and they don't announce it on LinkedIn. Because I'd be wanting to see, is this person more qualified than me?
Because
I'm definitely reporting them.
Like, I'm calling corporate now.
No, for real. Because that's one of the things Shanae and I talked about. She was like, the reason why we try to get the people with the minimum qualifications is because if a person finds out we hired a person that did not at least have the minimum qualifications,
mm-hmm.
we would be liable saying, hey, we hired an unqualified person for said role.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens all the time. You be working with a person that you report to, like, bro, how did you get this job? You don't know nothing. And so when boomers be talking about we lazy and all this, no.
Y'all dumb.
Y'all got first to market. And y'all friends put y'all on. Y'all don't know nothing.
I'm like, yep,
that's why some of y'all getting laid off now. I can't find jobs. The truth is, y'all ain't interviewed in a long time.
And
y'all skills don't translate.
Mm-hmm. And you just don't have nothing to talk about when you get to the interview.
Because when I work at Goldman Sachs, I see how you can get up there fat and lay. I'm talking about people, non-investment bankers getting $50,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 bonuses because the company performance. So you think about, you say people that have been there 10, 20, 30 years.
Right.
They don't know nothing. When I tell you, like, simple stuff was like any other environment you go to, people's Active Directory is going to probably be mapped to whatever their ticketing thing is, the ServiceNow. Mm-hmm. They weren't like that for them. Well, they were trying to transition to ServiceNow, but it was not mapped. It was mapped one way on this thing and this internal tool, and that was like a big project we were trying to solve for moving to like a new incident management tool. We was moving to SIR, which is ServiceNow security module. And I was like, this is like crazy. I mean, this was like one of the times I made them tweets on Twitter, and I was like, most of the time, I said, a lot of y'all companies, networks and security has been held on by gum and rope. It be, for real, she know. The infrastructure be trash. Ain't no asset management. You don't know who owned this server.
Oh, don't get me started.
I worked somewhere, and the switches didn't even have NTP on them. And so imagine looking at dashboards and trying to get logs and look at logs and troubleshoot because it's so old that it keeps cutting off randomly. And we're trying to like find out when the time, you know, link it up to other things happening on other devices. But you ain't even, there's no timing protocol on there. So it thought it was in like 1954. I'm just like, I know you didn't even exist in 1954. So why do you think you're in 1954? It didn't make sense. Yeah. I was so frustrated at that job because, yeah.
What do y'all, so without disclosing too much, like what do y'all use to monitor now? Or let's do it like this way. To not, I don't want to say incriminate, it's a bad word. But I want to say tools like aspiring network engineers, cloud engineers, like we already know like the cloud platforms, but what's the other stuff that they need to focus on?
For monitoring? Or just in general, for like network engineer, I mean, really understanding how the network works. Like,
They need to know the OSI model?
They do the OSI model, you know, how to subnet.
Ooh. Do they need to know what happens at the different
levels? You have a mnemonic for the...
Please don't...
Please do not teach stupid people acronyms.
That's how you remember yours?
Yeah.
Do you know the one Lise told me?
Mm-mm.
You never heard the one Lise said?
I don't know what she said.
It's pimps don't need to sell pussy anymore.
Oh. No, I ain't never heard that one. It was something, please don't, something, sausage, pizza. It was somewhere pizza, the one that I used.
I was thinking of PEMDAS. I was about to say, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of, that's what we should do one day. So we've been thinking of like different things we can do to engage our audience. So like one of the things we're going to do a spelling bee, but we're going to make it like cyber terms. So where me and her probably had three things, we pick a piece for us to spell. And then another thing we could do a math problem.
Don't put me in there.
Yeah, immediately. I want to do it. I'm going to fail for sure.
I'm going to use a calculator.
I'm going to fail for sure, but I think spelling bee will be fun. Because it's so many words that tear me up. I love autocorrect.
I would rather be laughed at spelling than
really
immediately.
And math used to be my favorite
Never
subject.
Never been my favorite subject.
It used to be my favorite subject, but now, me and my calculator.
Yeah.
What is
and
four
I And
plus
I still
eight,
actually you know, have like, my graphing calculator yeah. somewhere from high school. I don't know.
Me and math, we lost it, but I used to love math. Cause I used to try to be super fast and who can complete the formulas the quickest and the equation. And so, and I was like, okay, cool. But then
if we're doing like some multiplication, single, let's be specific, fractions. As soon as I see a 1/4, I'm aggravated. Get it out of here. 1/4 plus 1/6.
Did you ever have to work retail?
Yeah.
See, I had to work retail and occasionally.
What that got to do with fractions?
Nothing, but I had to know about numbers. I had to work the cashier.
I was going to say, hold on, what?
Oh my gosh.
Now, when they used to be like, oh, it's 30% off, what's that, ma'am?
Let me ring it up for you.
Thank you.
And tell
period.
You what it is.
Literally.
Like,
yeah,
what?
If I didn't
literally.
Know, I just would take whatever 10%
no,
was
I'm not
and add it three
I'm
times.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not even doing that.
That's the same thing.
It is the same thing. But just ring it up.
Thank you.
Price check for you.
Yeah. Just bring it up.
Okay, especially when they have like... It's 30% off, then an additional
and then, no.
10% off, because it's not the same as 40% off.
No, it's
off.
A 30% off the price tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, since you said all that stuff, now we know that it's late night at the Textual Talk.
Been past my bedtime.
And you were talking about the fur babies.
Yeah.
Now, you know, here we like to hook people up with credible partners.
Okay.
You know, do you got an all call for the type of partner you're looking for?
Partner in my life?
Yeah.
Like, I got one. They just don't.
Okay,
don't
my bad. Hey, whoever you are, I didn't mean to offend you. I really did.
That's hecka funny. Yeah, no. I just don't put my personal.
No, you don't got to.
But yeah, no. I appreciate you looking out. Although, I mean, especially, I'm thinking about when Justice was talking on her thing, like, y'all, they was going back and forth on the internet or Instagram about the tech bros and the dating and people in tech and how they date. I wouldn't want to have to deal with that.
I think it depends though. Like, I got a homie, he's like a technical person, but he's not like an online personality.
Cause I feel like that's also a big thing too. Like, people really be
nosy,
but also like as far as like the personas on
most
the
people
on
don't,
social media.
Most
on
people
social
don't
media.
Touch grass either though.
That part. Don't go outside at all and live
except in front of the
and
camera.
You gotta think about a lot of these dudes came into their bread during the pandemic time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of red pill content was going out there.
I hate it.
So It go both ways now. Mm-hmm. It go both ways. You had the city girls influence the girls.
You relax.
Relax. I'm going to take your man. All that type stuff. But y'all seen the city girls been down. Stephon Diggs holding the crown.
Oh my God. I'm screaming.
Ugh, they are down.
It's exactly. They've been down. They've been down since Cardi, Miami.
Don't speak on JT. My sister. Keep my sister name.
JT got snatched up with a guy that wore a purse.
Love him down. I mean, I love that for them.
Wait,
I love that for
what's
them.
The?
Uzi. That's him. That's
yeah. I know, but I what's the song?
Which one?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's not funny then.
He got
we
a couple
don't know
songs.
The song. It's not the
okay. I know the where he was. I know what you're talking about. I don't know the song.
He got a couple of songs he did that on. That's what I'm
talking about. No, but I know the. I know what you're talking about.
It's a certain song.
He did it on 20 More Minutes. That's one of my favorite Uzi songs.
I don't know.
I like, I just want to rap.
You like that one?
Body, yaddy, yeah.
Yeah,
I
like that one.
I used
to like, what's the one he used to have? Of course, he came out with the, I don't really care if you, I forgot what the name. Oh, EXO Tour Life or something. That's what it's called, right?
I don't know.
My friends
know
are dead. Push me
to
the edge.
Yes. Is that him? I thought it was.
That's Uzi.
Oh, I don't know why I thought it was somebody
like,
else.
You were right and I was wrong.
Okay, I know the first part.
Hit it from the back, my nigga, bless you.
I didn't think that was Uzi, though, for some reason.
Yeah, I
would have. I'm real bad with music people.
But y'all, that's what we have when we be having, we going to do like, ooh. See, eventually when we get the Patreon lit, we going to do like a Versus, and I'm going to smoke Cyber Shorty's
please.
Boots.
Please.
Because she was supposed to do, I think you was from Detroit, so he was going to be Big Sean. I forgot.
He want me to be Big Sean. I don't want to be Big Sean.
You from Detroit? I mean, you from Kalamazoo.
I'm not from Detroit.
I mean, you from Kalamazoo. It's the same.
It's they're not, that's
y'all
not
still,
the same.
You still say
that's my, like saying, if you from Houston, it's the same as Dallas. It's not the same.
But. From a person that's not from there, they gonna say y'all should know the same. Y'all should know more. They songs.
I'm just saying there are other reputable artists that
so
I would
what
like.
Artists
don't
you gonna
stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
I didn't say I had them in mind, guys.
Oh, okay. You just gonna. You're gonna
yeah.
Figure it
I
out.
Just was saying.
You just know it's not Big Sean.
They gotta
Sean.
Be on the same.
You just know it's not Big Sean. Okay. So who are you
I would
gonna
be? I'll be Big Sean. I'm a
because
Big
he
fan.
Was trying to do J. Cole.
I will smoke J. Cole boots with Big Sean, for sure.
Well, then you be Big Sean and let me be J. Cole.
Okay. I know all the songs you'll play, huh? So that's how I win.
That's why he think he know all the songs I would play.
You
in the verse.
That's
J. Cole
that's not. A, but I
Big
told
Sean?
Him.
Big Sean got better records. When you think about like the records, I'm not talking about rapping. J. Cole's a better.
Okay.
Rapper.
Okay. All right.
When it comes to records,
like hype, as far as like hype and
if
okay.
You put on. Like, whatever song that J. Cole got, it's not going to be, I Don't Fuck With You. It's
okay,
not going to
yeah,
be
right.
That.
You're right. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Hands up in the air.
I could just go.
That's my favorite.
I could put on Marvin Gaye and Chardonnay. That's going to get a dub.
Okay.
She love the way I'm mm-hmm. doing it. Huh?
But it's going. But to me, it's going to be all old Big Sean.
Bottom line is.
It would have to be all
old
for me.
Yeah,
period.
Like, I don't
want
to hear none of that new stuff. Besides,
no, the new stuff,
apologize.
The new stuff be going in, though.
No,
the one he
stuff.
Got with Gunna is fire. It is what it is.
I don't think I know not one Gunna song.
I'm let locked out of my laptop again.
Pushing P.
I be real out of the music space, so I can't even contribute.
Okay, now back to the regular schedule program, man. Since I was being childish, that's what we like to do. We like to joke a lot. And Destiny did not ask my joke. About the pole at the fire station.
I'm sorry. I was going to leave that for you.
You could have asked it.
Ask it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's, you kind of ruined it now.
I ruined it, but you brought it up.
Right. You just asked it.
What's so like, okay, being a volunteer fire woman, mm-hmm. what do you get to do?
Now, my chief... He on vacation right now, so I'm going to talk crazy. He will let me do anything, right? Anything that I would like to do. I don't volunteer to do certain things because I understand it's a lot of the times someone's life is at stake, right? And I joke on social media that I'm not a first responder. I'm a second responder. Like, don't call me first. I'm going to look at you, just pass out, and call the real people. but I do get, I get to drive the fire truck. I get to play with the fire hose. I can, like, pump the truck. Can participate in all the trainings. I could respond to the car accidents. Like they do all the stuff. I don't do that.
So you take your like CPR class and all that stuff too?
Yeah, I have my CPR. I had that. Don't pass out around me. I'm calling 911. I'm just gonna look at you. Tell me like don't even with like the diving and stuff. Like my friends are like, oh, you come get us because I have search and rescue with diving and all these other things with diving. No.
Why would you need to come get you, friend?
Not while you're alive. I say I'm a second responder because what I get called out for diving specifically, when they're calling me to get you, you are no longer living. right?
So you don't want, don't ask me to come get you.
Don't ask me to come get you, because also I just don't want to be, like, I don't want to make a mistake and then now you're dead because of me, right? I'll come get you to give you back to your family. Like, I'd love to be able to do that so your family gets closure, you know, to get to see you again. But if you're telling me to come respond, trying to save you, if I do something wrong, because that's really not my field, like, I don't have all the trainings that they have because they do it all the time, I don't want that on my conscience to be, I don't mess them up. So I just be like, I'm a second, don't. But the fun stuff, like, I got to go do actual fire training. They lit these containers on fire. I got to put stuff on and go inside and put the fire out. It was real cool. I mean, I love to cosplay as a firefighter, for real. But please don't call me your house on fire. Call the people.
I'm glad that you said that, because I had to ask you this earlier, and it slipped my mind to ask you when we were talking about anime. Are you going to DreamCon?
No. I want to go to Comic Con. They have one in Raleigh that comes every year, and I don't ever
make
it.
You should go to DreamCon.
I don't ever make it. But also, as much as my brain be like, I'm not very creative in my, like, I can't build a costume. I want a nice one.
Well, who you want to be?
I would probably be.
You know, an easy one is Sailor Moon.
No, I don't want to be Sailor Moon. I would actually try to be a boy, honestly. I would probably, if not Killua, I would probably try and be, I can't even think.
With your complexion, you know who you should be? The Reikage. Unruly A. That would look perfect on you. Like, because you already got the braids. And, you know, I'm glad they actually made, like, real black people in Naruto. He got real braids.
Right, that's true.
You either be him or you could be Killer B. Or you could be Darwi.
Yeah. I also like Bleach too. Like, I love me some Ichigo.
See, you know what? I never finished it.
You know, they came out, they started it back. I didn't finish when they started it back because I didn't even watch TV. But I love Ichigo. Like, he right next to it's Gon, Killua, Ichigo, to Naruto. Like, those my babies as far as like who I'm obsessed with. But his is easy, minus the orange hair, right? He just got his robe on and the sword. But if I want to do some, go to a cosplay, I want to be something crazy. So I would need something real.
Y'all want to hear something crazy? I was just in Atlanta and they had a furry convention. I just found out what this is. So it's pretty much just a bunch of cool people who come dressed. They either can put a head on, like a mascot head on. Some people had gloves. Some people had the full suit on. And then some people had like the feet on and then tails. But they were like just dope, just very creative, different things. But I was like, what is going on here? Because it was like...
Just randomly, you didn't know what's going on.
No, and there were so many of them. And I actually saw a dude in the airport who... I was like, where is he going with that head? And then I got there. It was like literally a mascot head that was that big. And I was just asking them, like, how much do these cost? And, like, who is making these for you? But I think that might be more of... Not necessarily maybe that, but I think that... I'm interested in branching out and doing things that are a little bit more different like that as hobbies to just be around different people and just experience different things. Like, I would go to... I don't really watch anime, but, like, I like dressing up.
Right.
Oh, we can dress up? Yeah. I love dressing up. So, you know, I think it's dope for people to be able to do things like that. I think that's really dope. You see yourself... doing anything? I mean, you said Comic Con, but what about other cons is there any another con that maybe you'd be interested in?
Not really. I mean, it's other hobbies and stuff. I'm kind of thinking about pottery right now, like throwing a clay pot and stuff. But as far as like a con to like a conference to go to, not really, just because I am very antisocial. It's really hard for me to be around a lot of people all the time. It's very draining to me. And even when I tell my client, I'm like, you do as I say, not as I do, right? Because even though I'm going to these conferences and I'm talking to people, I have to go take a nap mid conference. Like, I be wore out. So just keep going to conferences just to go. I don't know. I'll have to already like really be into it,
looking forward to a segment or a speaker or something of that sort.
Yeah, it would have to be something like that. I'm really more into, but but they have a con for everything. Like randomly in Raleigh, they just had a knitting con. It was something like with crochets or something like that. And I was like, oh, which is dope. Crocheting is dope, but I was just like, I didn't know they had conferences for that. So there's a conference for everything, but I don't know if I'm gonna be adding that to my agenda. Cause I don't know how many tech conferences this year. just randomly, and I'm just like, I'm tired a little bit. Yeah.
A little burnout. So I have a question about burnout because you do a lot. So I know you travel as well, and you talked about that being like something that that's what you look forward to doing. I feel like I'm kind of like in my burnout season right now, and I feel like once I come out of this season, I need to be a little bit more intentional about taking space and time away. So how do you, how did you get to kind of where you are now, where you're kind of able to balance, you know, your life professionally, you have your business, you have your professional side quest?
I burnt out. I burnt out like a year or two ago.
How long did you, do you feel like you were in that phase
for? Like 3-4 months. Like I deactivated like my social media. I told my friends like, don't talk to me. Like they would text me like every, like maybe once a week for us, we need like a pulse check, and I would just react to their message. I was like, I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't have to. Which was my job.
That's
right?
Kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to do nothing. Like, I burnt out, and I was like, this is not sustainable. So when I was able to recover, I have to really be intentional about self-care stuff and doing things that I like. Like, this year, I've taken it a little bit further. I've blocked off on my, because I live on my calendar, right? I have do nothing weekends scheduled on my calendar, which is, I'm not going to do nothing, but it's doing something that I want to do that's kind of, like, restorative to me versus me doing things for other people or other days. Because last year, I didn't have no weekends for real. Like, I was always in training. I was always at a committee. I was always doing something. Like, it was, like, very rare that I had a weekend off where I didn't have to show up somewhere. And so just being more intentional about scheduling those things and understanding what makes me feel not stressed out, like, what's actually fun, it can get my mind off of all the things that I have to do, and that's, like, you know, it's engaging. So just actually I have to schedule that, honestly. I schedule it now.
Are you one of the people that take, like, need, like, for example, I feel you, because I remember one year, most of the time I'm running myself super hard, so a lot of times I take off, like, the week of my birthday, and I used to, like, go somewhere, and people are like, well, what you going to do when you go there? Sleep.
Yeah,
like I need, I'm the person need like 2-3 vacations. I need one just to recharge, and then one like with a family, and then one for me and the missus, and then we can go do stuff. But I definitely feel y'all can say you just need to sleep and the burnout, because it's rough.
Yeah, I did. I went to St. Martin last year. I was telling her about it earlier, and I didn't leave the resort. Like, I stayed there, and I just laid by the pool, or I laid on the beach, and I just ordered room service, and I just sat there and I ate, and I just laid there and listened to audiobooks, and that was it. Like, I didn't try to explore. Yeah. I didn't try to do no excursions. Like, it was, oh, I'm a little asleep now because I'm sleepy, and I have those, and I also, even before, I would just take like a small weekend trip, and just like, I'm doing nothing. When I live in Cali, I would go down to San Diego, and I would just do nothing for a weekend. It's very much needed to where you can, because we, and also I was seeing a lot of younger black women and younger women in general, like, having heart attacks, right? Yeah. And I'm just like, and it's because they're just working like high stress environment. They're pushing themselves. I'm just like, I don't want to be one of those people, because I do that a lot. And like, I'll be sitting there in my watch or whatever. It's like, your heart rate has been up for the last 20 minutes.
You stressing y'all out?
It doesn't stress me out. I'm just very intense with myself as far as like, I mean, it can be me being upset that I ain't painted this wall in my room and I failed to paint this wall in my room. Right. So
I don't know. I think I got a kind of, I'm not that nonchalant, but a lot of stuff I kind of don't let get to me. I can kind of work it out.
You're a man. Bye.
But you know what's funny? That'd be the reason why they be exploding, because a lot of men feel like, you know, they don't go talk to the lady. They don't feel like they can talk. If they do have a girlfriend, or we could say a male partner, they don't feel like they can talk to them because they feel like it's going to be weaponized on them. Like, oh, but that's why your mama left you when you was 3.
Right. Just like going out, going below the belt for no reason. Like,
did she leave you when she was 3? When you were 3? No, I'm just kidding.
That's, that's women for you, though.
Whoa.
You took it far.
I saw you. Sterling K. Brown was talking about how he was like, you know, joking on his.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I did.
And she went for the juggler.
She did.
That's why. That's why we don't even play with y'all. Like, all right, you got
I
it.
Did see that.
Like, that's why your mama going bald.
What?
That's why your mama got a mustache. No, but like,
but you know, if but you said you, it to me, I'll say somebody like.
But
it.
When you dating somebody, like, you can't hit below the belt like that. You can't, because then that person doesn't feel safe with you.
Right. They're never going
to
talk to you.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. That's why a lot of men don't. That's not a relationship podcast.
It's giving.
That's why they be having it's giving. The little side things going on. They be easy to talk to and all the other stuff. That's why they do that.
Are they easy to talk to or just don't care about your life?
They be invested because they getting something out of it sometimes. Yeah, right. But for the most part, it's no judgment sometimes. They're side
because they don't care. As long as you give them what they want, right?
Some of them do care. Some of them just easy to talk to. That was a skill they learned. Mm-hmm. But there's no requirements out of that relationship.
Right.
So there's no, you can't hold them accountable or no other mm-hmm. stuff. So that's why. But other than that, that's just, you know, I don't even know how we got there.
Okay? Yeah, right.
You took us there.
I don't know where we went. I was wondering, how
what's
did
the name
we
of the group
here?
That sings, is it, How Did You Get Here? Who is that? That's not in Vogue, is it?
Attention. That one? I caught the bus.
Annoying. Why would you do that?
That's the verse. You can be out anywhere. I promise you, still today at this age, they're going to sing that.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going like, to remix it. How did we get here?
I'm going to tell you a good example. I went to the, it was supposed to be a trap karaoke. It was supposed mm-hmm. to be that. It was really R&B night. 1,000 no trap. Trap music was barely played. And they played
R&B
that.
R&B is the best.
And they played that and everybody was, I caught the bus.
Where's that from? I don't know that.
Something on social media.
Yeah, somebody just did something. Yeah.
I just remember before I knew that. I forgot when that on. That wasn't on Waiting to Exhale, was it? Or was that on? I forgot what it was. Before that, my older girl cousins, they used to be around the house singing it. So that's how I knew the song. I was young at the time. I think we put you in the hot seat. And I know I asked you about Comic-Con. Do you plan on going to any conferences this year? Or have you already been to some?
I haven't been to some conferences. I was in the conference like 2 weeks ago.
Did you go to Whiteside this year?
Weezus?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I went to Weezus. I went to All Things.
Every time I blink, AI. It's here. Like, I be saying I'm finna go, and then I blink, and
it happens. Yeah, they come real quick. I did All Things AI. I did...
Are you doing Afrotech?
I'm not doing Afrotech.
You don't want to go party in Houston?
I don't like to party, first of all. I'm really be in the bed at 9 o'clock or night. And if I'm up past then, please know I'm going to be very angry the next day. So, you know. I just went to something, another one, Agent Con. They just
another
had that.
One.
Agent, I know. I just be like, and it's so annoying. Not annoying, but.
Are these local?
The Agent Con was local. All Things AI was local too, but it was bigger than Agent Con. But like, I be telling people, get on these meetups and stuff. And mm-hmm. these groups. That's how I find a lot of these things. And a lot of them end up getting out scholarships. And I love me a good free ticket somewhere.
You sure
I'm
going
to go.
You be fine.
I'm going to go.
As you should.
Right, I'll be trying.
Because I saw how much the tickets were.
Listen.
For women inside.
Listen.
I said, what?
I was just like, if it's a scholarship available or a free ticket, I'm going to go. I just be finding out, and then I do other like meetups, like AWS was just in Raleigh doing the user group workshop, and they did it on Kiro, which is like their IDE platform, or whatever. And that was cool, you know, you get to go there and network. And again, I keep trying to tell people, go to these local meetups, right? So even at the workshop, the company that was hosting us, the guy, he was like, yeah, and we're hiring. So holla at me after the workshop. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't go talk to him, but still, like, the door was open.
No,
if you're looking for a job, you got
in-person
networking. This person is saying, hey, I'm hiring. Now you can talk to him and say, what do I need to have on my resume for mm-hmm. you to look at me and call me? Like, what, you know, like, you've been in a relationship. I'm just like, you don't get that all the time, especially at bigger conferences because there's so many people there, right? And it still happens, but it's a lot easier in your local network because you can have FaceTime with them more often.
And you only get that at big conferences if they have, like, a job expo hall. They're mm-hmm. ready to hire people.
Yeah.
When I went to Afrotech with JPMC, they was ready to offer people.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And it's like that at Weezus too. Their career fairs.
Okay.
Huge.
Is it only for women or can men?
No, men be there.
I bet they do.
I think... And you know what?
Are
what
they,
man be there?
I was just about to ask you that.
Mm-hmm. White man.
Yeah, and the other one. The other one she was talking about earlier.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. Yeah. Baby though. So I mean,
they be trying to bag y'all.
No, they be trying to bag the jobs for real, for real. But again, we just open that up to them. That's fine. They ain't my job to be upset over that. But I do be in conferences, and I don't think I'm going to another one because I was going to DEF CON. I'm not going to DEF CON this year. And I didn't 2 years in a row. I'm not going to DEF CON. It's hot in Vegas. I'm tired of going to Vegas. I'm trying to go.
I'm ready to go back to Vegas actually.
If it's hot. Water, a bottle, this.
$10.
$10.
See, listen.
$10.
I like to go when it's on the company dime.
Oh, my gosh.
So when Splunk Conf be in Vegas, I'll be the first person to sign up.
If it's on company dime, it's different. Cause I can go anywhere on a company dime. It don't matter.
That's what I'm saying.
As long as it ain't mine.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, I ain't going to mine.
Oh, so. What? Okay. Hey, why'd you go over this charge? We in Vegas. It's
right.
We in Vegas. It's sending me.
No, for real. It's so expensive. You'll get the little notification, hey, this meal was expensive. I got some basic stuff I can get anywhere.
Right.
Like, I stay eating at Grand Lux and at Splunk Conf. That was my go-to.
They got the best. No, they got the chocolate chip cookies.
I forgot what I was getting, but it was good.
Oh, my God. Them cookies are so good.
Next week, finna max out the car too. What? I got a layover in Atlanta. Let's go eat here.
You leave the Atlanta airport and go out and eat?
No. Layover. So every time I go to Connecticut, I have a layover in Atlanta for about an hour.
Right, and you're eating in the airport.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were saying.
No, I said we got a layover, and I'm gonna find somewhere to eat.
But I thought you were saying that you would during your layover, you were gonna leave the airport and come back. Like you would try that in Atlanta. I don't care if the layover 5 hours.
I just left Atlanta, and it's so crazy that when we got to the airport, we literally walked straight through TSA. 12 minutes later, that line was so insane.
Oh my gosh.
And not to mention, my flight was delayed twice, then canceled. And then I was supposed to leave on Sunday. Guess when I got home? Just guess.
Tuesday.
Morning. Tuesday.
Well, yeah. Flight right now, travel is crazy.
But that always happens to me when I go to Atlanta.
Oh.
Right. Now, I was going to ask you this. What's one question we didn't ask you that you thought we would have asked you?
I feel like y'all got into the text stuff. Y'all got into my personal life. Y'all was real nosy. I feel like y'all did what y'all was supposed to do. I don't think anything was exposed that I didn't want exposed. And
Now, what would be 3 things you would want to leave the listeners and viewers with?
Like I just said, go outside and network for sure. And just join these groups, join these organizations. I mean, on Meetup, there's a niche group for anything. Even if you're looking for a way to decompress from your tech lifestyle, right? You can go Meetup, and there's a group for that. And you can go hang out and just, you know, get a change of scenery. For the actual job seekers, hang in there and keep pushing. Also, get some exposure. Social media makes it very easy, especially on TikTok. If you're sitting there doing a lab and learning something, go live. Mm-hmm. Go live, post what you were doing on LinkedIn, put your GitHub on live, go on YouTube and post your video of a walkthrough, get you a Loom video of you explaining what you built, and send it. Actually, send your Loom videos and stuff to recruiters. Like, just cold drop it into somebody's inbox. That's
just
giving advantage. Yeah, some advantages. You said three. One more thing I'm gonna leave y'all with.
It could be silly. It don't have to be.
I was just gonna say, it's gonna get hot. Please wear deodorant.
I'm dead.
Please wear deodorant. Listen, please wear deodorant. I will like bring a little small thing like deodorant to spray. And when people walk around me, I just spray as they walk around. I'm just like, why you got deodorant? It makes me so angry. So please wear deodorant and with aluminum. I don't want to hear no non-aluminum. It don't work in the summertime. Put the aluminum under your armpits,
I please. Find the deodorant, it doesn't have aluminum in it. First of all, your armpits are going to be wet.
What?
Like, it's going to be wet because you're going to, it's not going to leave you dry. If you try an alternative deodorant.
I have.
See, yeah, it's not for me. Yeah. Immediately no.
Yeah, so please wear your deodorant this summer.
And it's okay to get deodorant that's unscented. I know that.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Because everybody shouldn't have a scent on underneath their armpit. Powder fresh don't smell powder fresh on everybody.
I wear the native joint. I wear the native deodorant. But if you ain't into that, men, you cannot go wrong with degree.
No, you need to get some Arm & Hammer unscented, honey. Yes,
I said
unscented.
For men, they need the degree.
Oh, my God.
And it's okay to trim your armpit hair, too, if you're a man.
And shower more than once a day.
At least every day.
Just trim. Just trim.
If you deal with hydronatus superlita, I think I said it right. Get you some gel deodorant, the one that it
some
got
gel?
The little spokes, and then all the little gel pieces come from the top. Get you some gel deodorant, put it out, it'll help you out. The people who dealing with it know what it is, because I have it. Uh-huh. I don't use it because I don't have it as bad as other people. Right. But the people that get it bad, like the glands and all things, like I can show you on TikTok.
I
was right
say
now.
What it's, I don't know what this is.
Oh,
though.
It's bad. It's bad.
Okay, like is it?
No, it's. It's bad.
We're going to Google it after we get off. Yeah. Come on, I don't know what this is.
Now, but where can they follow you at?
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at tech_e_ because without the underscore was taken already. So tech_e_. And if you are a business looking for somebody to help you consult and build out your infrastructure, you can find me at techeconsults.com. Yeah.
Cool. Well, like we always say, it's Cyber Shorty, it's HD, and we got EQ.
I will take it.
It's the Textual Talk. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. We out. Peace.